We walk through Psalm 119 together. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, grant us your Holy Spirit, who writes the preached word into our hearts so that we may receive and believe it, and be gladdened and comforted by it in eternity. Glorify your word in our hearts. Make it so bright and warm that we may find pleasure in it, and through your inspiration, think what is right. By your power, fulfill the word for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated as we hear our scripture readings for the morning.
Good morning. Our first reading for today is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Verses 22 through 25. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading for today is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. This is the word of the Lord.
And I invite you to rise in honor of the gospel. In our gospel reading this morning from John's gospel in the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Have any of you ever been in a moment where you felt like the darkness took control of your life and you weren't sure if you were ever going to get it back? For me, it was a few years ago. I had come back to Swaziland, the country that I had served in as a Peace Corps volunteer for a few years. I was there to visit my host family. When I landed in the capital, I rented a car. I picked up my host sister, Thali, and we started driving down the road. Now, we had gotten there a little bit late. It was a long drive, and so it started to get dark pretty quickly. And in Africa, unlike Southern California, there's not a lot of artificial light. Eventually, the only thing that Thali and I could see in front of us was what the car's headlights carved out on the road, and it was dark. We still felt like we were in control. That is, until we took a bend in the road and got struck by a pair of high beams. Suddenly, I couldn't see for too much light. I started blinking, trying to clear my vision. Finally, the car passed us, but that's all it took. Just a couple seconds of disoriented blinking, and all of a sudden, there was a cow in the road right in front of me. Alicia started screaming. I hit the brakes. The car slid sideways down the road, but it was too late. We slammed into the cow, and all of the lights went dead. We started spinning. I threw my arm protectively across Alicile, trying to figure out something to do to help her, and she kept screaming. I felt powerless to do much more than that. Suddenly, the car jolted to a stop. It sent both of us face first into the airbags, and that's when Alicile stopped screaming. I sat there for a moment, feeling pretty shook up. I could feel Alicile in the seat next to me, but I couldn't see or hear her. Looking out the window, I could see stars distantly, but I couldn't see anything for 20 miles. I grabbed for my phone to try and use it as a flashlight, but it had fallen out of my pocket in the mess, and that's when the panic really took over. I felt like I was being engulfed by the darkness. I couldn't even see, let alone help my host sister, who might be seriously hurt or dead. Who knew what was outside the car if I tried to get out and look for help? And I started to hyperventilate. I felt terrified, and my fear overcame me. Have any of you ever been in a moment like that? I don't mean hitting a cow in Africa. What I mean is, has there ever been in a moment in your life when something awful, maybe sickness or sorrow or despair, took control of your life like that dark moment did mine? How did you feel when it happened? Did you feel confused? Did you feel afraid? Did you feel hopeless? Sitting in that car at the bottom of a well of darkness, I started doing the only thing I could think of. I started to pray. Now, in my own confused emotions, I wasn't going to have any words that made sense. So I started praying the only words that I had, words that were given to me, words that I'd said 1,000 times before. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Those words didn't put my flashlight back in my pocket. They didn't unsmash the car or the cow. They didn't even dispel the darkness. But they did help. They started to calm me down. I started to remember that for Christians, even death has no fear. For Christians, God is present even in dark places. And so I kept on praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. And Lord, deliver me from this evil moment. For thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'd like to say that was the moment when the cop cars showed up on the horizon behind me. That would be a really slick story, right? But no, God works in his own time. So I had to sit in that car in that darkness for another 45 minutes before I finally saw light. Light coming into darkness is a pretty good image of what God's word does to us. Like light, God's word exposes things, deceptions, confusions, and errors. Like light, God's word guides and directs our steps. Like light, God's word calms us down and brings us back from the brink. And like light, God's word changes our reality It takes back control from the darkness. Joan Weber has served with Lutheran Bible translators for over 40 years in Africa. One of those years, a young man named Binyibi came to her house. He came because he had this festering ulcer on his leg. And he wore this loose robe around his body to cover it up. But the robe had such a bad odor to it that Joan wasn't even sure if she should let this man into her house. It wasn't just the odor that gave Joan pause, though. You see, Binyibi also had a reputation in the small African village that they shared. Binyibi was known as a troublemaker. He had left his family in rebellion years ago. He was living off the things he could steal from his neighbors. And so in a part of the world where this means life or death, Binyibi was rejected by his people. Binyibi was walking around in darkness, and he didn't even know it. It wasn't the darkness of sin that brought him to Joan. It was the maggots crawling around in his leg. But Joan agreed to help. She asked Binyibi if while she helped, she could play the Bible in his language on this audio recorder that she had. And you see, Binyibi couldn't read. If you'd given him a book, the Bible, in any language, it wouldn't have done him very much good. But Binyibi could listen. And so each day that he came to Joan, she would take off those old bandages, she would clean out that wound, she would put on fresh ones, and she would play God's word in Inyibi's language. Pretty soon, Binyibi told Joan, "I want my own New Testament player. I want to take it home with me. I want to listen to it every single day." Eventually, Binyibi reconciled with his family, his neighbors. Binyibi got baptized. And he began living in peace with himself, with his family, and with his God for the first time in his life. God's word changed Binyibi's life. The light, it shines in the darkness. Binyibi was very blessed. First of all, he had Joan, who had moved to his village because of how God's word had changed her life. Second, Joan had a version of the Bible, not just in a language Binyibi could understand, but in a format, a medium he could access. As Lutherans, I hope we're also familiar with our own church's history so that we know just how blessed we are. You see, we come from a tradition founded by a man who 500 years ago found his life changed by his rediscovery of the radical grace that God's word preaches. Luther was so excited about this. He wanted to make it his mission to ensure that everyone knew about this grace, and he sought to tear down every barrier that stood in its way. He wrote theses to challenge the Pope. He published catechisms to teach the biblically ignorant, and he translated the Bible into the German language so that his people could hear God speak to them in their own language without any barrier. Though he loved his German people, Luther desired that the Bible would one day live in every heart in whatever language it understood best. And yet 500 years after Luther's New Testament translation, there are millions of people that still don't have a Bible in their language. Without access to God's word, people remain in dark places. They live in confusion and hopelessness and fear. But they don't have light. The true light of the world has come, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Our God continues to send people into dark places. He sent Luther to the Germans. He sent Joan to Cameroon. He sent Binyibi to his brother. You see, years had passed since Joan had last seen Binyibi. Her husband Martin and her had traveled away, but when they came back for a visit, Binyibi came to say hello. He still had his New Testament audio player. I don't know if you guys know this, but it's really hard to keep electronics nice in Africa. And it was pristine. He also had his twin brother. Years ago, Yibi's brother had also fallen into a dark place. For him, it was drugs, but also spiritual oppression. Listening to God's word had changed Yibi. He wanted it to change his brother, too. He had come full circle from being the kind of man that just takes from people to being the kind of man that shares Jesus with his brother. The true light, which gives light to everyone, everyone is coming into the world. I've spent a lot of time in this sermon talking about people you've never met and places many of you might not go. So I want to bring it back here for a minute to San Marcos, the Community Lutheran Church. I'd like to ask each one of you, if I may, to think about a moment in your life when darkness took control and you weren't sure if you'd ever get it back. Maybe it's when you endured the death of a loved one, like a parent or a spouse or a child. Maybe it's when illness turned your whole world into ash. Maybe it's when someone you looked up to took advantage of that trust. Maybe it's when all your family ties were dysfunctional and damaged. Maybe it's when someone you thought you'd love forever just walked away. Who did God send to you in those dark moments? Was it a still small voice from the scriptures that reminded you that God does hear the desire of the afflicted? Was it a loved one who climbed into the pit with you to sit in the darkness together and wait for the light? Was it the Holy Spirit who reminded you that God does indeed rule in heaven and hallowed be his name, even in the dark? If you've walked into and back out of a dark valley like that in your life, then I think you believe that everybody deserves the same opportunity that you have. Maybe you just hit that cow and your car is still spinning down the road. Maybe things are hopeless and you don't know how they're going to turn out. And I'll be honest, I don't know the path God has put you on. I don't know the dark valleys he might still lead you into. But I do know this. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. As we recognize Bible Translation Sunday, which is this day that LBT made up so that I can come and talk to you guys about the work that we did. Sorry, had to cut the tension. May we celebrate that God has sent people into our lives to share the light of his word with us, which takes back the control from the darkness. We celebrate that we have free and unfettered access in a language we can understand, in mediums we like, whether it's writing, audio, video, in books, on the internet, on our phones. But let's also remember those who are still waiting 500 years later. Those who don't know what they're missing out on because the things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned. And let's remember in our prayers all those men and women around the world, men like Anyibi, who are working to put God's word in the hands of those who wait. God's word is a gift. We're going to receive it as a gift here in a moment. So it is a gift for us today, but it's a gift for everybody. The true light, which gives light to everyone, he has come into the world. His name is Jesus. He was born in a manger in Bethlehem. He lived a perfect life. And then he died on a cross for your sins. For my sins. But he didn't stay dead. See, that's the light. He rose to power and glory. Right now, he's reigning with his Father in heaven. And he is coming back. And today, just like every day, he invites you to know him and to trust him, even in the dark moments, and to share the good news of who he is here in San Marcos, California, and all the ways to the ends of the earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I've been told we rise to sing at this moment.